Shalom, I'm Areem, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. Also streamed on the World Wide Web, WHKWRadio.com. This is Dan, along with my joyful wife and Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, honey, and I wish all of you that same joy that comes from our salvation and supersedes any trials you might be going through. So let's begin tonight by asking God to lift any sadness and sometimes self-pity that might be plaguing any of our listeners.
Abba, Father, comfort those who are called by your name and relieve them of any stresses that basically comes from worry. You know us better than we know ourselves, and sometimes it can be hard in our humanness to put all our trust in you. We often say it, but our actions don't always match our words. Consequently, our burdens are heavier than they need to be. So help us, Lord, to realize our position because of you, as we put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We lift up to your throne those particular prayer requests recently given to us. And as always, we pray for the salvations of our loved ones. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen and amen. It's beautiful. Well, last week ended the fall feasts, so tonight we are finishing up with some tidbits that are very much worth noting concerning the eighth day of Tabernacles.
Yeah, you know, we've covered a lot since August.
Yes, we have, and you can re-listen to any of those past programs on shofarministries.net. You know, we know the real birth of Jesus is on the first day of Tabernacles. That's Tishri 15 on the Hebrew calendar. As we looked at a few weeks ago, this whole scenario, so we can figure out why God appointed the eighth day, his circumcision, as not only an extra Sabbath, but a day called Simchat Torah and Shemini Atzeret. And that's our topic tonight.
A lot to speak about. But first, how about some important news, like what about those fires in California?
Oh, well, that, in my opinion, after doing just minimal research and viewing many pictures, that was far from any spontaneous wildfire.
I have to agree.
This was much bigger than that, and from an evil source. Perhaps the demonically influenced people of the deep state, wanting to test out its EMP, laser-directed energy weapons, which they have, and can activate, resulting in fires. Let's keep remembering Ephesians 6 and who our enemy is.
One of the articles I read called it a plasma machine.
And we were looking at pictures yesterday of trees burning from the inside first, as well as melted steel that needs heat of at least 2,200 degrees.
Yeah, the average forest fire burns at 1,100 degrees.
Yeah, about half. We also saw pictures of areas where the houses were burnt all the way to the ground with no structure left, which is not common in a wildfire.
Yeah, you'd see a sink or a tub.
And whole areas of hundreds of acres burned totally. And yet, and then you can see some nearby bushes were actually untouched. And one more thing, this was not consecutive fires, like you see acre after acre and how it spreads. These are fires where the areas are separated, sometimes hundreds of miles apart.
Yeah, there was no lightning, you know, not even thunder.
That's what they said. And I am certainly no expert, but are they telling us that sparks can travel that far to another area miles away? Another fishy smell. Again, like the Las Vegas FBI and CIA cover-up, that we'll never know the whole real truth. By the way, eyewitnesses that insist, there are eyewitnesses that insist that there were other shooters on the ground. Well, these witnesses are now being killed, suicided, or they just disappear, as in the security guard that was shot in the leg.
That's the days we are living in.
Yes. And we were warned about it, and evil is getting stronger. In fact, you can often reach out and feel its heaviness. Pray for our president, and also pray for Steve Bannon, who is very intent on getting rid of the establishment of fake Republicans. You know, they killed his boss, Mr. Breitbart, and they will no doubt try to kill him as well.
Yeah, that we can tell you.
I do have to say I am disappointed that President Trump, like the other presidents, has gone back on his promise to move our embassy to Jerusalem. Said last week, as reported in the Times of Israel, that he preferred to wait to see if a peace agreement can be made with the Palestinians.
Same old line as before.
Yes, and you know, I wonder if God's favor on President Trump might wane over this decision? Just saying. But God already knew that that was going to happen, and he has given us the end of the story. In the fullness of time, a treaty will be made with their enemy. Thankfully, we will leave just before it is officially signed on their Day of Atonement.
Yeah, you know, maybe next year.
Well, hopefully. But also watch closely to see if the Pope gets involved and tries to make this thing happen.
And we'll address that more as the months go on.
Oh, but one more important thing about Israel. Iran, with the ousting of ISIS now, is making definite arrangements to set up shop in Syria with plans to build a military airport and a base near Damascus for its Revolutionary Guard. And as I've said before, this will not fly with Israel and will probably be a catalyst for Isaiah 17, the ruin of Damascus, to be fulfilled. We'll be closely watching that scenario as well. This could be why Trump wants out of the Iran deal, along with other reasons, so to be able to assist Israel, who will desire our help. But they have said they'll go it alone if they must. If I remember correctly, and let me ask our listeners to email me the answer to this if they know it, but doesn't the Iran deal militarily tie us to help Iran if they need it? Anyway, talk about biblical prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes.
All right, then. You can send your end time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net. Or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, please consider a love offering. It really helps with our expenses and to keep us on the air, and always greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the instructional newsletters and all the past radio programs can be found. Especially helpful if you missed any programs on the fall feast. You might want to take advantage of that.
Yes. Okay, we have looked in detail how this first day of tabernacles was the day Jesus was born, and how it was mandatory, according to Leviticus 23, that they dwell in booths, and besides them having the regular Saturday Sabbath, they have an extra two Sabbaths, one on the first day of tabernacles and also on the eighth day of the feast. You know, Jesus' number is 8, representing eternity. And we know he was circumcised on the eighth day, as commanded in Leviticus 12. Also, we now know that the blood clots more quickly on the eighth day.
And only on the eighth day after birth.
That's right. And that's because the vitamin K is at its peak during on the eighth day, which stops hemorrhaging.
Today, hospitals give babies a shot of vitamin K.
That's right. But still, God gave the instructions thousands of years before they knew anything about the clotting. This is a gold nugget to use when witnessing to someone who thinks the Bible was just written by man and not inspired, as so many other facts do as well. You know, Abraham's circumcision was the type of the old blood covenant. Now Jesus brings the new blood covenant. So last week we discussed the many lavish ceremonies performed during this Feast of Joy, like the waving of the lulav, the house of the water pouring ceremony on Hoshana Rabbah, the seventh day of the eight-day feast. And we looked at its many idiomatic phrases, like Feast of All Nations, because it's for all people.
Even more moralized than the Messianic Kingdom, according to Zechariah 14.
That's right, it will be, because Tabernacles is a foreshadow of the Millennial Kingdom.
Also called Feast of Dedication and Feast of Light.
As we compared both of those to Hanukkah, also called the Lesser Feast of Lights, and showed how that had to be the time of Jesus' incarnation.
Actually, on the eighth day of Hanukkah.
Of course, God is so very exact. I want to point out an event that happened in John chapter 8 on the eighth day of this feast. And we know it's the eighth day because Scripture tells us it was the next morning after the great day, which is day 7, and we read that in John 7:37. So, it was a Sabbath, and Jesus went to the temple. Now, he knew that besides the Torah readings, they would have been reading a few passages from the prophets as well. And it would have been out of Jeremiah, which was tradition on this day, due to the elaborate ceremony that I taught about last week, surrounding the fountain of living water, that Jeremiah actually refers to in chapter 17, verse 13. And I'm going to read that portion in a minute, but first let's recall this very interesting episode that happened right after temple services. So Jeremiah's scripture would be still fresh in their minds. We have recorded in John 8 about the woman caught in adultery who they brought to Jesus. Remember the Pharisees said that she should be stoned and wanted his opinion? Now we know Yeshua forgave the woman, but we seldom discuss what else he did. So let's read what they said to Jesus. Honey, would you do that? John,
mm-hmm.
John 8, verse 5.
Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one.
You know, they totally knew what he was doing, and no one accused her. So what did he write? Now, I've heard many explanations, but most overlook the scripture from Jeremiah that was not only read in temple that day, but also probably had a sermon on it, particularly because Jeremiah speaks on the fountain of living waters, which as we now know is the ceremony done on the seventh day called Hoshana Rabbah. Okay, here's what Jeremiah 17:13 says.
O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters.
Now, remember last week I explained the ceremony of the living water called the house of the water pouring? So, he more likely wrote their names in the earth, which was a symbol of being doomed to the grave.
Mm-hmm. So they dare not accuse her.
Right. In these often missed nuggets, time and time again, we can see that Yeshua taught the people deep messages of himself, especially during these festivals. These feasts were most important for them because God wanted them to be. How much more important for us to learn by them and to see Jesus in them and the awesomeness of God to have pre-planned and organized these events as a major teaching tool. It's so phenomenal to me that I actually have to catch my breath whenever I think of all that he has maneuvered so that those that desire to, now did you catch those key words? Those that desire to can see him in a deeper and much brighter light. This is, as I say often, why knowing Hebraic roots is such a blessing. Because you see the hidden details of God, and that truly does increase your faith. The eighth day of Tabernacles is also called Shemini Atzeret, which means the closing assembly of the eighth day. Remember, this was an extra Sabbath, so they did go to their assembly. Another name for the eighth day is Simchat Torah. And that means rejoicing in the Torah, because they would finish reading the whole Torah in 1 year, finishing in Deuteronomy 34, and then they would begin all over again during the same service in Genesis chapter 1. Well, the Torah is like a circle. It's never ending. Now you see, every Saturday, the same sequential reading of the five books of Moses is read all around the world in all the synagogues. So on Simchat Torah, they celebrate the starting over of the reading of Torah, which is why it's on the eighth day of Tabernacles, because it's the number for eternity, meaning never ending. And Jesus' number is 8, also never ending. For he is the Torah, and in fact, he is the entire word. But listen to this. This was quite interesting. I have a quote on a totally Jewish website, okay, that says this. On Simchat Torah, we rejoice in the Torah, and the Torah rejoices in us. The Torah, too, wants to dance. So we become the Torah's dancing feet. I just love that, and how fitting, because for us, he really is inside. And on this day, they really do literally hold these big Torah scrolls while singing and dancing in the streets. You ought to look that up on Google. It is phenomenal. And I saw it with my own eyes. They are just happy, happy, happy on the season of joy when God said, you need to be happy during this time. It was kind of mandatory, actually. Now, one of their famous songs sung on the eighth day of this feast is called Sisu Vi Simku, which means, let us rejoice together on Simchat Torah and give honor to God's Torah. Wow. I wish here today in America people would care so much about the Bible. Some do. There's a remnant of us. And here's another noteworthy fact. Did you know in the Gematria, which is the numbering system for letters in both Greek and Hebrew, all of Jesus' names are divisible evenly by 8, with nothing left over, no remainder. This is so amazing. Let me give you some examples. The Greek name for Jesus, which means Savior, when you add up each of the letters, it adds up to 888. Wow, what do you think of that? Now, if you look at the Hebrew, at names given to Jesus, the pattern stays the same. Christ is 1,480, or 185 times 8. Savior is 1,408, or 176 times 8. There's never anything left over. The word Lord is exactly 800, which is 100 times 8. Messiah is 656, which is 82 times 8. Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man, a term which occurs 88 times and has a gematria of 2,960 or 370 times 8. It's just phenomenal when we think about it. I remember doing division in school, and it was amazing when you didn't have a remainder. And then finally, the word truth is 64. And of course, that's 8 times 8. So 8's a pretty important number. And the probability of any randomly chosen number being evenly divisible by 8 is 1 in 8. The chances of just 4 of his names being evenly divisible by 8 is 1 in 4,096, or 8 times 8 times 8 times 8, and so on. Yet the probability of this consistency simply occurring by accident of 7 names would be 1 in an astonishing 2,097,152. Don't tell me the scriptures aren't divinely inspired. They have to be. Our number is 6. And of course, you know that. That's the number of man. But we'll soon be a 7, which is the number of completion. And Jesus will always be the number 8, equals perfection. And he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords right down here on earth on the 8,000th year from Adam. So it's pretty cool. So I have to close now, but there is so much connected to this festival. But know this. You must make Jesus Lord of your life if you want to be part of the future kingdom represented and ushered in at the Feast of Tabernacles. He'll be returning on Yom Kippur. He'll have 5 days to judge the sheep and the goats, and then we'll enter into Tabernacles at the wedding supper. Time is moving quickly. Be sure your relationship with Jesus is intimate. Be sure you don't just have a mind relationship. It's got to be in your heart. And of course, the question always comes up, well, how do we know for sure that it's in our heart and not just in our mind? The litmus test is that you will have a desire to know him more with a passion to be in his word. Because that's the only way you can know him more. Because he is the word. More word, more Jesus. It's just that simple. His presence is our Bible. So, it's that simple. Just do it. Get on your knees right now if you haven't already done that. Invite him into your heart. Make him Lord over your life. Repent of your sins, especially that one particular sin that might be really hounding you. Get rid of it. Give it to the Lord. He's your burden holder. He will carry it for you. And as you're in the Word, you will get stronger and stronger and stronger. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, I wanted to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 6, 22 through 27. Yiberekaka Adonai v'ish mereka, Ya'er Adonai panav v'leka v'yuneka, Yisei Adonai panav alakav v'esat shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu shalom Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper in all ways. That's from Psalm 22, verse 6. Okay. Have a good week. Be blessed. And I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.